Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
I listened to Pastor Mike's message. I taught last week on the book of Deuteronomy, and when you read the Old Testament books, especially the books of the law, the books of the prophet, God did everything he could to get the attention of his people. Over and over and over. And I asked myself this question tonight right before I came over. I said, I wonder what it was like with the Godhead when they were getting ready to inspire Moses or whoever it was that wrote the books of the Bible. I wonder what the conversation with the Godhead was. I wonder if it went something like this. We need to over-communicate to these people because they need to hear it over and over and over again. It is so true. It was true in the scriptures, and it's true today. The things that God wants to say to us, he says over and over and over, and he re-communicates it and over-communicates it because he knows that we need it. And I think in some ways it's humorous. If people work closely with me, they know that a pet peeve of mine is do not surprise me. Please do not surprise me. I do not like to be surprised. I would like to be over-informed than under-informed. And when I get surprised, it throws me off. We are not surprised when we read God's Word because he tells us what we need to know. So as we dive into the book of Judges tonight, let me just set the stage a little bit for you, and then we'll just extract some purposes from the book of Judges. So it's this unique season in the lives of the people of God. Joshua, a strong leader, has died. Anytime a strong leader dies or a leadership transition happens, people become vulnerable. They become vulnerable because they became reliant upon the leader. That's a good thing. It is not a bad thing to become reliant upon a leader. But what it also does is it allows you to see areas of vulnerability or potential weakness. So Joshua has died. And the people of God who have been led by this strong leader are now in this situation where they have to either recall or remember the things that they've learned from the past, or God is going to need to raise up strong leaders. So the book of Judges is all about this process of God raising up 12 to 13 judges in this 300 to 400 year window of time before the kings. So before King Saul and before King David was this 300 to 400 year period of time where God raises up these judges, the famous ones we know of, Samson. We know about Samson. We know about Gideon. We know about Deborah. But there were 9 more that God raised up to speak to his people about where they were living and how they were living. They had gotten caught up in the busyness and the distractions of the noises of the world, not unlike today. Isn't it easy to get caught up in the busyness and the distractions and the noise of the world? And also, if we're not careful, to get sucked into sinful behavior. It is so easy in the world that we live in today to get sucked into or seduced into sinful behavior. So I want to read this just brief historical setting for you, and then we're going to dive into the scriptures, see what we can discover. So the historical setting is this. Israel's entry into the promised land under Joshua was not so much a total conquest as it was an occupation. So Joshua leads them in there. They win some battles, but it was more of an occupation. There were still battles to win. Do you know that there's still battles for you to win? You have free access into the Holy of Holies, but there are still battles for you to win. You are fighting battles, and you're going to fight battles until the day you go to be with the Lord. So even after the land was divided among Israel's 12 tribes, the Israelites continued to face the possibility of domination by the warlike Canaanites, who were never entirely driven out of the land. That part is important. They were never entirely driven out of the land. These were the enemies who threatened Israel repeatedly during this 300-year period of the Judges from about 1380 to 1050 BC. So when you read the book of Judges, there was 7 repetitions in this 300 to 400 year period where God spoke of sin and then punishment, and then there was repentance and deliverance. So there was sin, there was punishment, there was repentance, and then there was deliverance. And there were 7 cycles of this. So the Canaanite problem was intensified by Israel's loose form of tribal organization. So they went in to occupy. They didn't rally and get strong quick enough. And as a result of that, they became over-influenced by the enemies of Israel. And then we're going to see what God taught them in the book of Judges. The Israelites were easy targets for all the well-organized enemies like the Canaanites. The first big task of the judges, whom God raised up as deliverers, was to rally the separate tribes behind them to rout out the common enemy. They were clearly outnumbered. The people of God were clearly outnumbered. So God raises up these judges to remind the people what God had said hundreds of years ago. When we read the scriptures, whether we're reading in the Old Testament or the New Testament, it is reminders of things that God has said that are true for today. If you've heard me say this once, you've probably heard me over-communicate it. And I only over-communicate it because I need to hear it over and over and over. Anytime I study the Word of God for practical application, when I'm not just reading devotionally, but when I'm studying for practical application, I always remind myself of this. So what, now what? So what, we're going to read about, we're going to learn about a book that was written thousands of years ago. So what? The important part is now what? Now what are the timely truths, or what are the things that God wants to teach us for living in 2015? What does God want us to know about that if we will apply and if we will begin to do, it will change our world? So what I'm going to do tonight as we go through this, and I'm just going to give you three real keys from the book of Judges. I'm going to start with point one, then give you three keys. But I want you to know that what we're going to do is we're going to look to the past and then to the present, in other words, into the current with the book of Judges. So I'm going to read something to you from the past, in other words, before they got to this situation when the book of Judges was written, and then something in the present when the book of Judges was written. So I'm going to start with something from the book of Deuteronomy. So this was in the time period where Mike was teaching about last week. The book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read this to you from the book of Numbers. So God was speaking to his people, and they were on their journey to their promised land, and God says this: "While they were camped near the Jordan River on the plains of Moab, opposite of Jericho, the Lord said to Moses, 'Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. When you cross the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all the people living there.'" Now that sounds a little bit harsh, but there's an important principle and a reason for doing that. So God says, drive them out. "You must destroy all of their carved and molten images and demolish all of their pagan shrines. Take possession of the land and settle in it, because I have given it to you to occupy." What has God given you to occupy? Just pause for a second. What has God given to you? Because God has given to you an inheritance. There is something that God has given to you that requires that you occupy it. And part of what you have to do when you occupy it is you have to recognize that there are going to be enemies that are going to come in and take from you what God has deeded to you. The principles of the Old Testament are the same today. There is a spiritual inheritance that belong to the people of God that the enemy wants to try to take. So as you're coming into your inheritance and as you're coming into the things that God has for you, these principles still apply. Take possession of the land, settle in it, because I've given it to you. Say, that's me. Say, that's me. He's given it to you to occupy. You must distribute the land among the clans by sacred lot and in proportion to their size. A larger portion of land will be allotted to each of the larger clans, and a smaller portion will be allotted to each of the smaller clans. The decision of the sacred lot is final. In this way, the portions of land will be divided among the ancestral tribes. But if, those are important words, but if. I want you to think about, as we go through this message tonight, what is your but if? What is your but if? Because here's what God says: but if you fail to drive out the people who live in that land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorns in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you live, and I will do to you what I have planned to do to them. Now, God spoke this before the book of Judges was written. And the reason that I'm reading that is because God graciously and very intentionally always speaks to his people. In other words, he knows where I'm going and he knows what I need to hear before I get there. So God was saying to Joshua through Moses and the children of Israel long before we get to the book of Judges. I'm taking you somewhere, but if, when you get there, you need to know there's going to be people that are occupying what I'm giving to you. And they have ownership of it right now, but I'm giving it to you. But if, when you get there, you don't drive them out and you don't take and use the authority and you allow them to stay, God says something very graphic. They're going to become thorns in your eyes and barbs in your flesh. Not only are they going to be an irritant, but they're going to blind you and they're going to distract you and all of those things. So let me give you point number one and then we'll dive into this message. It's this: partial obedience leads to disobedience, which concludes with bondage. Partial obedience leads to disobedience. What has happened historically to the people of God, not only in the days of the Scriptures, today, do you know that the things that men and women of God just a decade ago would not have compromised on are beginning to compromise now on? Biblical mandates, things that we know that we know that we know that we know from Scripture, there's people that are climbing up on the fence and now beginning to teeter. And they're beginning to allow partial disobedience to gravitate and move them towards obedience, which will ultimately lead them to bondage. And one of the things that we're going to discover with the book of Judges is the overwhelming theme to this book is the love of God. And it comes through warning after warning after warning. I'm going to raise up a man, or I'm going to raise up a woman, to remind you, meaning the people of God, what I have said. Because when you get there, there's going to be all kinds of pressures against you. And if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land, they become irritants, and then you start getting used to them, and then they begin to influence you. And that's what we're going to see when we get to the book of Judges. So the judges, these people that God raised up to be the judges, were troubleshooters, if you will. God raised them up to come in to help remind the people of God that they were just getting off course slightly. And in their own minds, they thought slightly, just getting off course slightly. And so God would raise them up to rescue them, first of all, from themselves and then from other people. So as we dive into this, I want you to keep in mind that God's overwhelming, arcing cry of his heart in the book of Judges is, I love you. When God said in the book of Numbers, drive them out, it was because he wanted them to be able to live freely in what he was giving to them. If there are things in our lives that do not belong in our lives, and we don't drive them out of our lives, they will become what God said they will become. They will become barbs and thorns in our lives, and they will affect us. Number two, write this down, please. Number two, the book of Judges teaches us the danger of inexcusable compromise. Inexcusable compromise. And when I say inexcusable compromise, God is not taking his word and beating us over the head with it, but he's showing us. We have this succinct line of history that shows us that God has these great plans for us, but beware, beware, beware of compromise. Beware of compromise, the danger of compromise. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Judges, chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now remember, this is a 300 or 400 year time period that we're reading about. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give to your ancestors, and I said I would never break my covenant with you. For your part, you were not to make any covenants with the people living in this land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars. But you disobeyed my command. And then God asks this question, why did you do this? So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you. The very thing that God had said in the book of Deuteronomy was going to happen to the people of God is now happening to the people of God. And it's happening because they didn't respond to the but if. But if you do not drive out, it's really important that you understand and that I understand that as we follow the Lord, there are things along the way that are meant to sabotage your inheritance. Do you believe that? There are things that are set up that will try to sabotage your inheritance. They will try to get you off course. They will try to distract you. All of those kinds of things. And if we are not careful, it will happen before we know it. And this is not something that happened overnight. This is something that was a slow erosion of biblical principles, not unlike what we're seeing today. If we were lifted out of this atmosphere for just a short amount of time, and we were allowed to really see what was going on in the spirit realm and what was happening in the natural, we would probably be shocked in the world that we live in today. We often refer to Sodom and Gomorrah and what was happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. This world that we're living in today, Sodom and Gomorrah doesn't even compare to it. It doesn't even compare to what we're seeing in the world today. So historically, not just thousands of years ago, were the people of God dealing with that. Today, the people of God deal with the very same things. We are on our way to what God has for us. And just as Pastor Jason said, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that can stop us from what God has called us to do. However, partial obedience will lead to disobedience, which will lead to bondage. And there's people today that are living in bondage because of inexcusable compromise. God's saying right here in the book of Judges, I told you what to do. I brought you out of the land. And I just said to you, keep your eyes on me. Don't navigate to the foreign things and push them out. One of the reasons God said push them out is he wasn't trying to be harsh with them as much as he was just trying to put this protective bubble around the people of God. God cares about his people. So Judges chapter 2, verse 10, I'm just reading on a little further, says this. After that generation died, so that first generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Why didn't they remember? Because they weren't told. They weren't told. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, and they served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord their God, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the image of Asheroth. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel, so he handed them over to the raiders who stole their possessions. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned, and the people were in great distress. They were in great distress. So God said to them, don't compromise. Don't compromise. Follow my principles. Follow my principles. And if you follow my principles, I will be with you and I will honor you. And as they begin to get out there, and they lost strong leadership, and they begin to wander because they hadn't driven the inhabitants of the land out, they begin to become influenced by the inhabitants of the land. What is influencing you today? What is influencing us today? By default, everything around us is going to influence us. And the choices we make to either push those influences out or allow those influences in are going to determine how we govern our family and how we govern our lives. And it usually doesn't happen with flipping a switch. It's a slow, compromising thing that happens a little by a little by a little by little. We all know the whisper of the Holy Spirit, do we not? We know the whisper of the Holy Spirit. We know when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes. I wonder what it was like for the people of God in those days. I wonder if it wasn't much different than it is today. God is speaking, and are we listening? God is speaking, and are we listening? Inexcusable compromise was leading them further and further and further and further from what God had for them. All along the way, all along this journey, we would be amiss if when studying the Word, we didn't challenge ourselves to do the hard thing. We've got to challenge ourselves to do the hard thing. We've got to know what to say no to and what to say yes to. This is this overarching love of God, because over and over and over in every book of the Bible, you see the love of God compelling people, just follow me. But then this amazing thing is he gives us free will and a choice. And that's why he's over-communicated to us in his word. He said it over and over and over and over. And the question is, are we listening? I love that God's word shows the expression of his emotions. He was angry. He cared about the people. He was expressing these emotions. If you're honest with yourself, is there an area in your life where you're compromising? It's important to see that. And I'm not necessarily talking about, it could be, but it doesn't have to be, sinful behavior. It could be for you just a compromise. That thing that was never allowed into your life is now allowed into your life. That thing that used to offend you, now you accommodate. And what God was saying to the people of God through Moses in the book of Numbers was drive them out. In other words, there is a diligent, militaristic attitude that has to be had with this kind of a thing. This thing is not allowed in my life. It is not allowed in my life. It's different for all of us. Because again, I'm not necessarily talking about a specific sin issue. If you have one of those, deal with it. Hello. Right? Say right.
Right.
Yeah, if we got a sin issue, let's deal with it. But if it's one of those things that is just creeping in and creeping in and creeping in, it's compromise. We've got to say, no, I'm not going to have it. I've learned a lot about myself over the last year. I've said this many times before, but you know, adversity introduces you to the real you. You want to know the real you, just get yourself in some adversity. You're going to find out who you are. And I found out a lot about myself. I found out a lot about myself, and I'm grateful for it. When I went to Carr Street a year ago, God spoke something to me that he reminded me of, and I've said it in a few settings, but he reminded me of something, and one of the things he reminded me of was that when I was in the Marine Corps, I was a radio man, and I was tasked with the responsibility of calling medevacs in, you know, when they were needed. And I just, all of a sudden, it just popped into my mind last year of something that I had remembered. I got to make sure that's not my phone. I got this new phone. I dropped my phone last week, and I got this new phone that doesn't really fit in my pocket. And I've not figured out where to put it yet or how to shut it off. I really do know how to shut it off. So the Lord reminded me of something that we needed to remember every time we came up to a patient. And every time we came up to a patient, we had to very quickly assess one of four things. And when I went over to Carr Street a year ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, you'll need to do one of these four things with the people. And the four things are this: start the breathing, stop the bleeding, protect the wound, and treat for shock. And so when I went to Carr Street a year ago, I knew that had to start the breathing for some. I knew we had to stop the bleeding. I knew we had to protect some wounds and treat for shock. The fact of the matter is we live in a world where we get beat up and we get banged up, and there's times that we need to get medevaced because there's things that happen that are hurtful, and they happen in our lives, and we got to get back up, and then we got to be militaristic and realize that this is not heaven, that we're fighting real battles, and there's things and forces. We wrestle not against principalities and powers, rulers in high places. That's our warfare. And we have to realize that there's things out there coming against us, and they're not trying to topple us over all at once, but they will try to get you to compromise. And that's exactly what's happening here. And God is frustrated. And God is talking to him. And the Bible says, and the people were in great distress. The people were in great distress. So, push out the compromise in your life. Ask the Lord, is there any areas in my life, Lord, where I am compromising? If there is, show it to me. Show it to me, and I'll be faithful. I promise you, if you ask God, he'll show you. Do you believe it? If there's areas, he will show it to you. Number three, the book of Judges teaches us the danger of incorrigible conduct. And I wrote the definition down because I want to explain this. The book of Judges teaches us the danger of incorrigible conduct. Here's what incorrigible means: bad beyond correction or reform, impervious to constraints or punishment, willful, unruly, or uncontrollable. Do you know that in the book of Judges, the people of God were living that way? They were incorrigible. They were bad beyond correction or reform. They were impervious to constraints or punishment. In other words, they weren't disciplining themselves. I remember saying to my sons years ago when they were little, if you don't discipline yourself, somebody will discipline you. It's true. If you don't discipline yourself, somebody is going to discipline you. So the earlier you learn to discipline yourself, the better off you're going to be. Isn't that true? That's true in the world that we live in today. And so what was happening to the people of God, because they were partially disobeying God, They were, as they begin their journey after their strong leader Joshua dies, they're kind of obeying God. And they're still worshiping God, but they're allowing things to come into their life that they shouldn't. And so they're mixing the holy with the unholy. And so they begin to partially obey God, which leads them to disobedience and ultimately becomes inexcusable compromise. But then it leads to this conduct that's incorrigible. No constraints. They're willful, unruly, or uncontrollable. Here's what Judges chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 says. These are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites. Let me just stop for just a second there. So the Bible says that God left some things in the land, in the proximity of the people of God to test them. Is it possible that there is something in your life right now that is put there by God to test you? You need to drive it out because it needs to be driven out, but God has put it there to allow us the opportunity to learn how to drive things out. You know, following God, like anything else, is learned behavior. We have to learn to do it. When you fight for the first time, you have to learn how to do it. When I had to learn to fight for the first time, it was because my dad closed the door behind me and he said, go out there. The guy's been bullying you for years. He bullied me for years, Daryl bullied me, for years. And I'd come home, I'd try to beat him off the school bus and get in the house, and one day my dad had had enough. And I went to go in the door, and he locked the door. I promise you, he locked the door. He said, go across the driveway. I don't want to go across the driveway. And my dad would not let me back in the house. I'm not encouraging this, by the way. I'm not encouraging you to tell your kids to go beat the next door neighbor up. Don't hear me say that. Don't lock the door on your kid. But my dad locked the door. And I went across the parking lot, the driveway, and do you know that he never did that again after that? And all that thing that I had built up in my mind that was so overwhelming to me, that was just a big bully, I needed to learn to stand up. And God allowed people to be left in the land to test the people of God because he doesn't want you bullied. Do you know that? God does not want you bullied, which means that you need to fight back. Say, okay, you need to fight back. In other words, there are things worth fighting for. So he left them in the land who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. He did this to teach warfare to generations of Israelites who had no experience in battle. These are the nations, the Philistines, living under those five Philistine rulers. All the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites living in the mountains of Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. These people were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the commands of the Lord that had given to the ancestors through Moses. So the people of Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and they intermarried with them. They intermarried with them. Israelite sons married their daughters. Israelite daughters were given in marriage to their sons, and the Israelites served their God. So those things that were called the enemies of God, those peoples that became and were the enemies of God, the people of God married into them. Do you know that if you allow something to stay in your life too long, it starts to become familiar? And that familiarity can breed something very unhealthy and unholy in us. And what God was saying here was he left them there, those people there, to test them. And the test that they were to pass was to drive them out. But because they did not drive them out, they intermarried with them. They became too familiar. And when we don't do what God's word compels us to do, we become too familiar. And unfortunately, today we're living in a world that's filled with familiarity. And we're familiar with the ways of the world, and we're called to be different, right? Aren't we called to be different? We're called to be the salt and the light of the earth. It doesn't mean we isolate. It doesn't mean we segregate. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that where I go, I should make the difference. And where you go, you should make the difference. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And God has called us to make a difference. And he's holy, and he's righteous, and he lives inside of us. And so he's frustrated with the people of God because they didn't drive him out. Now I'm going to go back again to the book of Deuteronomy. I told you I was going to go past and present. So we're going back. So this is a fact in the book of Judges. They didn't drive them out. They intermarried. Here's what God said years and years and years before that. When the Lord brings you into the land that you are entering to possess, and you drive out many nations, the Hittites, and he names all of these very same nations. So years before, they heard about the nations. When the Lord your God has delivered you over to them, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally, make no treaty with them, and show them no mercy. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters from your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the Lord's anger will burn against you and quickly destroy you. This is what you are to do to them. Break down their altars, smash their sacred stones, cut down their poles, burn their idols in the fire, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be holy. So even before Joshua died, God had warned the people of God, don't intermarry. Don't intermarry. Because if you do, this is what's going to happen. And then we just read in the book of Judges, that's exactly what they did. What makes a person think that they know better than God? This familiarity. I can handle it. It's okay. It's not too big for me. Whatever it is. And we just allow it to slowly creep. And that's exactly what was happening. Through all of these warnings, let me just remind us, through all of these warnings, the overarching theme is the love of God. God loves his people. He didn't want them to experience this. There are things that God will bring into our lives to test us, but it's not meant to drive us into bondage. There are things that will come as tests in our lives, but it is not meant to bring us into bondage. It's meant to strengthen us and bring us a greater confidence. But if we become too familiar, if we compromise, if we become incorrigible, it's going to lead us down this slippery slope. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we're seeing in the world today? I mean, we have churches all over the world today. They're changing their bylaws and all of the things that they stood on for centuries because the Bible said it was so. They're changing those stands now because of the pressures of the world that they're living in. We're seeing it around us, and it's only going to get greater in the days ahead. So the people of God have to remind ourselves, why was the book of Judges written? God kept raising up the people of God to speak. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way, follow me. I've got an amazing plan for you, but drive those things out. But if you don't drive them out. So we find God chastising his people in the book of Judges, but he does it out of love. The Father corrects those he loves, and he disciplines those he loves. The world's a lot more difficult to live in than when I was a child, and it's going to increasingly get more and more difficult. So it's going to require that the people of God rise up and do what God has called us to do, which is what? Believe his word. It was God that fought the battles for the people of God. They just had to show up. That's really what it came down to. They had to show up, they had to believe what God said, and they had to allow God to empower them and work through them. They became incorrigible. And they became unteachable. They became unteachable. They didn't want to hear what God had to say any longer. And then ultimately, number four is this. The book of Judges teaches us the danger of inevitable corruption. Inevitable corruption. Let me just read a portion of scripture from Judges chapter 17. I would encourage you to read through the book of Judges because there's these fascinating stories of this repetition, but the repetition of the love of God to warn the people of God. God shows up and he does mighty miracles, and then slowly over time, and remember this is a 400-year time period, slowly over time the people start regressing and regressing and regressing and they start falling back. But in Judges chapter 17, the Bible says this. There was a man named Micah who lived in the hill country of Ephraim. One day he said to his mother, I heard you place a curse on the person who stole 1,100 pieces of silver from you. Well, I have the money. I'm the one that took it. So here's this person who comes to his mom and says, I stole the 1,100 pieces of silver. Now, she says this. The Lord bless you for admitting it, his mother replied. He returned the money to her, and she said, I now dedicate these silver coins to the Lord in honor of my son. I will have an image carved and an idol cast. I will have. I mean, so when he returned the money to his mother, she took 200 silver coins, gave them to the silversmith, who made them into an image and an idol. And these were placed in Micah's house. Micah set up a shrine for the idol, and he made a sacred ephod and some out of some household idols. Then he installed one of his sons as his personal priest. In those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. So this mother finds out her son steals 1,100 pieces of silver. He gives the money back. She blesses him for it. God bless you for doing it. Now, I'm going to take these coins and have a silversmith make an idol. And I'm going to put the idol in my house. And I'm going to worship that idol, and I'm going to hire a priest to take care of the idol. I mean, this is what we're... I mean, it's not laughable. This is happening. This is happening. We're reading about this. And it's something that God is trying to point out to us in Scripture. Why would God point this out? Is he pointing it out because he's a taskmaster and he wants to push us down and push us down? No. He's saying it because there is something out there that belongs to you. There's something out there that belongs to me, and it's the nations. Ask me and I'll give the nations to you as an inheritance. God desires people to come to him. Do you know that? Do you believe that with all of your heart? You're on assignment. We're on assignment from the Lord. We've got this amazing calling on our lives. 850 people last week came to Christ because 19 people said, I'm going to go to Nuevo Laredo and I'm just going to share the love of Jesus. 850 people. The world is hungry for the gospel. They're hungry for Jesus Christ. They need Christ. They need Christ. And it's you and I that get to share the love of Christ with people. But there's things out there coming against you. And it's oftentimes the things that are familiar. Beware of those things that are familiar that will creep in and take from you the things that God wants. I mean, when I read this story, I thought, wow, it's humbling to me to read this because I think, how could somebody fall into this kind of corruption? And the first thing I think is, you better be careful, Blake. You better be careful. Take heed, lest you fall, right? Take heed, lest we fall. I mean, these things happened to the people of God who showed up in signs, wonders, and miracles, not unlike today. There was inevitable corruption that crept into the people of God. Then a judge would come. A judge would show up, the power of God would show up, it would be demonstrated, God would deliver his people, and then slowly, over time, they would begin to creep back and creep back and creep back. Melissa, when you were singing those songs, I was remembering those songs from years ago when I first came, and I remember how they impacted me. And I remember when I was back there worshiping, I was saying to the Lord, Lord, help me to allow songs like this to impact me like they did 30 years ago. 30 years ago, I don't want my walk with you to become so familiar that it doesn't impact me anymore. It doesn't impact me like it used to, because this is a man of God and a woman of God, and they can, hey, let's build us an idol, and we'll put it over there in the corner, and we'll decorate it in the corner, and then I'm going to hire me a priest, and we're going to bow down and worship this idol. It's pretty traumatizing, but it's really where the people of God lived. Judges chapter 21, verse 25 says this. In those days, Israel had no king, and all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. That was the story then. Here's the good news today. You have a king. You have a king. His name is Jesus. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit lives within us. Just as Pastor Jason said, in the Old Testament, the ministry of the Holy Spirit was to come on people. The Holy Spirit ministry in the New Testament is the Holy Spirit lives in people. So we've got this governor that's inside of us called God, the Holy Spirit, who all the time is quickening and speaking and quickening and speaking. And how are we responding if we're not careful? If we're not careful, we'll compromise. And compromise doesn't feel so bad. But then all of a sudden, it turns into conduct. And then conduct begins to dictate and direct our lives. And then conduct slowly slips into corruption, moral corruption. We are living in a bankrupt morally world. And bless God that we're here. I don't want to be out of here. I do not want to leave. I like being alive right now. I know what God wants to do, and I want to be a part of it, and I am not one of these that wants to escape out of it. I don't want to escape out of it. I want to be here, and I want to fight, and I'm going to fight the way God says to fight, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The last day outpouring of the Holy Spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles. I want to see it. I'm going to believe it. We're going to stand on it, and it's going to happen in our lifetime. And I'm not going to shrink back. I'm going to lead, and I'm going to challenge people to go forth and do what God's called them to do, and I'm going to watch the gates of hell not prevail against us. Amen. Jesus is the head of the church. And so as sobering as it is to read the book of Judges, I read it and I say, okay, now what? So what? Now what? Now what? Now I know what I need to do. I need to be careful that I don't compromise because I know what's going to happen. I'm not going to allow corruption to start taking over in my life. I'm not going to allow that to happen. And I'm going to put people in my life who are going to love me enough to tell me the truth. And I'm going to go out and watch what God can do on his behalf and because of his great name, because he loves the world, the lost world. Someday I'm going to rest when we get to heaven, but I'm not resting until we get there, right? And until we get there, I want to fight. And I'm learning how to do it every day, and I pray you're learning how to do it every day. So the great purpose of the book of Judges is let's listen to what God said because he was clear. I like that about God. He's crystal clear. There's no confusion when I read this. Do not intermarry. Drive them out. I get that. Can you get that? I get that. That's easy for me. Drive them out. I'm going to pay attention to the but ifs and say, okay, God, if you say it, I believe it, and that's good enough for me. I'm going to invite you to stand up.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.